IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Viewpoint. I am Beta, and once again, I have the chance and opportunity to be at your service as the host of today's episode. And here with me, there are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Sheikh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As you know, in this episode, we're going to talk about the superiority of languages and language itself, which for sure is something mysterious after all these years of existence of human beings. Language sets people apart from all other creatures. Every known human society has had a language, and though some non-humans may be able to communicate with one another in fairly complex ways, but still, none of their communication systems begins to approach language and its ability to convey information. So, language for sure is something mysterious, and one thing that I want to put my finger on is about the unity and diversity of the language, which I'm going to elaborate it more. There are many languages and many cultures, all different, but all fundamentally the same. Because there is one human nature, and because a fundamental property of this human nature is the way in which it allows such diversity in both language and culture. So, here the question comes up to our mind that, as we all are aware, Arabic is considered as the most perfect and the most complete language in the world. At this part of our episode, we're going to focus on the influence of Arabic language and European languages, and specifically English. Sheikh Rouhani, let's have your point of view.
Yes, first of all, let me mention this very interesting point about the Arabic language. You know that before the advent of Islam, we do not have even one single page, I mean text in Arabic language, let alone books. You know, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can say out of vacuum, he brought such a masterpiece that we nowadays call Quran. It is the miraculous aspect of the Holy Quran. So out of this kind of language, we see the Holy Quran, we see the narrations, the ahadith, and the language of a new civilization, which is the Islamic civilization. Yeah. So the Islamic civilization was based on Arabic language. The language of Islamic civilization was Arabic. That we can say that later in the medieval, the Westerners, all of them copied the educational systems, the, let's say, literary works, the textbooks, and universities, seminaries, schools, all of them were copied by the Westerners from the Islamic world. And so if you go to the history of establishing the first seminaries in, for example, Spain, you see that all of the students who established those seminaries or schools or universities in Spain, they were all came from Islamic seminaries, from Egypt, from, let's say, Baghdad, from the other, let's say, Islamic seminaries. So the first founders of the universities and colleges in the West, they were all the students of Muslims. Some of them are Muslims, some of them are the students of Islamic seminaries. So it was the language of Islam that had its influence on the Western civilization, because the works of, for example, ancient Greece, they were copied in Arabic, then from Arabic to Western languages. So in the medieval, we see that all the works of, for example, Plato, Aristotle, and the other, let's say, figures, scholarly figures in the West, they were first copied in Arabic language. So Arabic language had this capacity to copy those works. And then from their Arabic sources, the Westerners later, they copied. So, of course, we see this kind of interaction between or kind of communication between Arabic language and the Western languages or Western civilization and Islamic civilization. From this perspective, yes, of course, we see the influence of Arabic language in the culture of the Westerners, particularly in the fields of studies like chemistry, biology, physician, or let's say geometry and this kind of studies, yeah, because it was Muslims, Muslim scientists, Muslim, let's say, professionals and experts who had works in Arabic, then their works were copied into the Western languages. So nowadays, you can say lots of technical terms, even in their language, are copied from the Arabic terms. For example, alcohol. You see, this is in a completely Arabic term. Al is in al of Arabic that we have in Arabic. Or many other things that if you search in geometry, in math, in physics, in biology, in chemistry, you see that most of them are still there, the technical Arabic terms which were established by Muslim scientists and philosophers. This is the influence of the Arabic language to the most.
Thank you, Sheikh.
Before moving to the next topic, I want to have a comment on what the respected Sheikh was saying. I think it's better to say that Quran perfected the language of Arabic, because the ignorant Arab, or Arab al-Jahiliyyah, was very strong in Arabic, and they have a developed knowledge of Arabic. And one of the miraculous aspects of Quran is that they knew literature well. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does a tahaddi that says, okay, you as the most literate people of the Arabian Peninsula, can you say something in comparison to these words, to these beautiful words? So actually, they found it, knowledgeable poets, knowledgeable literarians, I don't know if the term is good or right or not, the knowledgeable, people in literature actually found it quite perfect and comprehensive, that they could not bring anything in front of that. So it was, this literature itself was one of the miraculous aspects of it.
You know, in the Arab Peninsula, there were no university, no college,
definitely,
no seminary, no library, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was even no kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to establish any seminary, any school, any library, you know?
True.
That is why when we see Quran as a masterpiece that was brought by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's why it was unexpected for the Arab poets. As you rightly mentioned, there were some poets and who were very much strong in terms of poetry. They just sometimes composed some nice and beautiful poems, but not other than these poems.
Yeah.
You know, that's why their look, their perspective to the Quran was from poetic perspective. While Quran was not poetry.
Definitely.
Quran was totally different. It was neither poetry nor very simple text. It was between that. So that's why we can say that the way and the method that adopted by the Holy Prophet in the Holy Quran was completely new and fresh.
Yeah.
Because it's not the poetry. It's not a copy of their, let's say, rules or composition, for example, rulings of the poetry or the poets or the literary figures of the... Yeah, of course, I do agree with you that there were some poets... there were some literary figures. They were very strong very influential at that time. But there were few poets in Arab Peninsula. But if you compare their works with the Holy Quran, you see that the Quran is never comparable or with those kind of works.
Definitely.
Yes.
In comparison to the poems and the, let's say, proses or the literary works that were there, Quran was something quite special. That's why they actually bent down in front of the literature of the Quran. That's true.
So I think at the end of the day, all of us agree that Quran has a specific kind of miraculous part, which is because of its a fresh method of expressing words and contents to people, which wasn't seen in the last poets and scholars in Arabic, Ummah. But the point is, there is a beautiful kind of announcement for people in Arab countries that if you have something better than this, if you have the power tell only one sentence, exactly the same as whatever we have in Holy Quran, then do it. And it is because of this importance of literature at that time in Arabic countries, that even in their fight, they were fighting with wars and poets and literature. Up to here, to summarize everything, we talked about the potentials, capacities, importance of Arabic language, and this religious aspect of the language of Holy Quran, which is Arabic and so on. So here is a question that as Muslims, should we learn Arabic language in order to be a better Muslim, in order to actually learn and know more about Holy Quran or not? Yeah, Sheikh Rahim.
Should I answer? Okay. Before answering your question, I want to just mention one point, which is really important.
I'm all ears.
If the language of Quran were, for example, if this language was Chinese or Indian or Greece
so
or Latin
weird.
Or Hebrew, you know, if it were any other language, then of course none of the people would accept the Quran.
Why is it so?
Because of what? Because they would say, okay, you copied the teachings of Confucius, for example, from China. You copied, for example, the ideas of Indian figures, for example, Hinduism or Buddhism.
So you mean there were no famous scholars in Arabic countries?
Arabic language was chosen because there were no such, let's say, influential works. You know, we have, for example, the works of Confucianism
in
China.
So why not Farsi?
even in Farsi, we had some, let's say, what is called Khudainameh. Khudainameh, before Shahnameh, we had many other Khudainameh. Shahnameh is a copy of them.
So
then we had these kind of words in Farsi, in, let's say, Hebrew, and let's say Latin, in Chinese, in maybe Indian language. In all of these works, we had lots of works. If the Quran was revealed in any of these languages, then the people would say, okay, this prophet learned this language and copied the ideas of the others. That's why the Quran is, in terms of the language, is new. And also in terms of the content, the content of this Quran is completely new and fresh. That's why it is the miraculous aspect of the Holy Quran, okay? This was what I wanted to mention. But then when it comes to the learning of Arabic language, no, it's not necessary. It's not mandatory for non-Muslims to learn this language. None of the jurists or fuqaha said such, that Muslims should learn or must learn the Arabic language. No, there's no need. But of course, when it comes to recitation of some verses of the Holy Quran that we recite in namaz and in our prayer and salat, of course it's better that we should recite and pronounce the words of prayer as much as we could, similar to the way that the for example the Holy Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt pronounce, or in the Arabic language. But again, it's not obligatory, it's not mandatory on Muslims. It's mustahab, it's recommended. But if someone cannot pronounce, if someone cannot learn this language, there's no problem. He can read, as you see many of the maraja now, when they read namaz and their prayers, maybe the Arabs would say, so your pronunciation is problematic. But no, there's no problem with that. According to the fuqaha, there's no problem.
Thank you.
Just to distinguish, for example, between some of these specific letters in Arabic, whose pronunciation is different, that's enough. But it's not mandatory, it's not obligatory to learn Arabic language.
Thank you, Sheikh Rouhani, for your clarification. And Brother Ali, you have only 1 minute to add whatever you want to this topic.
Learning Arabic, though, as the respected brother said, is not mandatory and obligatory on us, but it is highly recommended for us to learn it. Why? We can get in touch with the Islamic sources, whatever we have from Islamic sources, from Quran to the words of Ahlul Bayt, the narrations, everything is in Arabic. If we want to claim that we learn something from Islam and we can infer something from Islam, we need to be in touch with Islamic sources and books. So I think for the man of knowledge, to some certain people, not all, is sometimes even compulsory for them to learn, because they want to actually get directly in touch with the Islamic teachings. But as the brother said, no, it's not mandatory for everyone to get. But the total words that we need to learn for our daily prayers and for all our worship and rituals are almost altogether 20 words with missing, losing the commonalities.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Minus the commonalities, we need to, and it's not that difficult for anyone from any race, from any, let's say, community to learn these 20 words of a foreign language that we have it. We are facing different foreign words in our languages daily. More than thousands of them are being read and repeated in our words in a daily basis.
Thank you. Thank you both, Brother Ali and Sheikh Rouhani, for being with me in this episode. And thank you, dear listeners, for listening to us. And you can listen to more episodes on page Call of Islam. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed the whole episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا.